Well, what is up, Northridge family? It is so good to gather together with you. Welcome home and welcome to the family. Welcome to all of our family joining us at our locations in Webster, Brighton, Rochester, and online. And today we have a treat for you. We're going to do something a little bit different. You see, we're bringing an end to a series we called Because I Said So, just talking about raising the next generation of our church family through parenting, grandparenting. And so today, at the beginning of this series, we're going to answer the questions that you asked about parenting. We're going to do it in two ways today at our parenting panel and on our podcast that's released this next week. And so can you do me a favor at all of our locations? Can you help me welcome our parenting panel here this morning? Good news, guys. You made it through one service, so we are moving on to the next. So hopefully everybody's a little more relaxed and chilled. And so let's just start by introducing yourself, your family, and your children, and what ages they are.
All right. I'm a pro at this now. My name is Frank Santana. This is my beautiful wife. I'll let her introduce herself.
Good morning. I'm Sandra. We have three kids, two daughters and a son. Who are adults, and we have six grandchildren.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark Dudley. This is my wife, Nan. And we have two children, Will, who is 23, and Drew, who is soon to be 21.
What a name. What a name.
It was on
purpose.
You
know that kid is good. You just know it.
He's our favorite.
This is recorded. I just hope you know that. All right.
Hi, my name is Brandon Williams. This is my wife, Amanda. She's fasting, so that's why you can see her. We have two beautiful sons. My oldest son is Brandon Jr., who is 11. My youngest son, Levi, just turned 9 yesterday. And if you have any issues with what I have to say, I can be emailed at DKAR.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sean Bantle, and I have four adult kids. I'm not going to tell you their ages, because then you might guess how old I am. But three of them are married, and then I have six grandkids. Their age range is 11 down to 2. And I became a single parent when my oldest was 14 and my youngest was 3.
Well, guys, welcome, and thanks for being here. Thanks for the wisdom that you're going to share and have already shared. Parenting is a hard topic, right? It's a gruel. It's exhausting. And so these are questions that our church has asked. And so the first one is pretty generic. It's, why is parenting so hard?
My wife and I often talk about the fact that, you know, if you really want to know how selfish you are, first you just get married. And you realize that, but then we have to kind of revise that a little bit. If you really want to know how selfish you are, have children. And I think that is the hardest part of parenting for me, is I often vacillate between laziness, wanting to meet my needs, bringing my concerns and my wants and my desires to the forefront. And when I do that, I neglect my children. So really the short answer is, why is parenting so hard? It's because of me. I make it that way. And I know that I just need to rely on the Lord to bring me out of that and to bring me to be the parent that he wants me to be.
I 100% agree. I think for me, the thing that makes parenting difficult is that it doesn't come with instructions. We have our own experiences. We have our own thoughts on what parenting looks like. Even us as individuals, we feel as though we have it all together and we don't, you know, want to be told what to do or how to do certain things. But we also need some guidelines to, you know, do right by our children. So knowing that each child is going to be different, each child is going to come with their wide range of parameters that you have to adjust to on the fly, and not having a guide to go back to say, okay, exhibit 2-3-A, this child did this, and not having something other than the Bible to reference. So being that that doesn't come with instructions.
Yeah, great. Okay, so another question that's really been revolved around this entire series: how do we raise godly children or godly kids?
You want to go?
No, go ahead.
Okay. easier said than done. But I grew up in a godly home with godly parents. So I saw the role model. So I saw God in my dad's attributes. how he handled or took care of the house, and my mom, and how they nurtured us. So that just trickled down, and that was, you know, for us, that was our goal, was to model that, so that way the kids see that. The kids are always watching, so that's what they learn, that's what they pick up.
I totally agree with you, Frank, because I feel like the best thing that you can do is live it out, because your kids see what's important to you. They see how you act, how you respond, how you treat them, how you treat others, how you love on your neighbors, how you treat the cashier in the checkout line, what you say to someone who cuts you off in traffic. But as parents, we fail, and so we need to be, you know, we need to apologize to our kids and ask forgiveness, because kind of like what you said too, it's still all like we're just trying to work through everything and trying to figure it out, and each kid is different. They come with their own manual.
But, wait, you got a manual?
Yeah, you didn't get it?
No.
I'll give it to you.
Oh,
it's
sweet.
In the back. It's old though. But some other things that I thought about when I thought about trying to raise godly kids, and I wish there was a formula, but lots of prayer, listening to podcasts. In my day, it was listening to the radio station. I had a couple different ones, different programs that I would listen to, and they had great ideas. And reading parenting books. And I think also just having an open dialogue with your kids about what they think and what they believe, and just like talking to them when you get home from church, and what did you learn about church today, and what did that teach you about God, and what do you think about all this? And I think just keeping the door open and just allowing them to be authentically who they are and ask the questions without judgment from us. This is the perfect time when they're in your house to actually see what they believe and how they spit it out. Mm. So those are just some ideas. Mm.
Okay, so the next two questions are about preparing to be a parent, and then one is like a later stage grandparenting. So a lot of our church is single or married without children. And so once someone asks, I'm not a parent, what's the best advice you can give to me who wants to be a parent in the future?
Don't. you know how much you can
well
save.
Well said. We're going to move on now. Okay, we're going to move on.
No, honestly, I feel that just know that, you know, obviously keeping God first ahead of everything else, but just knowing that, you know, with God, the right timing is His timing. You know, as individuals, we feel as though we need to have the money saved and to have a home and to have all things together. And, you know, it's all of these things that need to go before to say, okay, now I'm ready, to only realize that you're not at all. You're not prepared at all for parenting, because, again, that child comes out and they have their own agenda. So just knowing that, you know, with keeping God first, and, you know, with if you have, obviously you need to have a spouse in most cases, it's 2024, you need to take into consideration that person that you're with and understanding and knowing that, hey, we're going to bring another life into this world. How do we work through collaboratively to bring the best child that we can raise?
So I have a couple things. First is you have to be the authority in your child's life. You are training them to ultimately obey God. And so that's a responsibility that we took really seriously. The second is, as a parent, you are going to touch things and catch things that you didn't ever know existed. that's enough said. And I would also recommend praying for them. You can pray for your children while they're still, you know, in the womb. And we pray often. Those night feedings, I remember early on, we prayed for our children. Mm. We went after God hard for those things. Mm. Do devotions together, especially when they're older. We found a great devotional that asked questions before it went through a Bible passage and then talked about that. Mm. And those times I look back on as really precious times with my kids. And the last one is help them to find their identity in Christ. Mm. They're going to go through some hard things, and they can always rely on Him and when they go through those hard things. So you have to help them remember that they're a child of God first.
So that was prepping for parenting. Now, there's a lot of people in our church who are grandparents, and someone asks, I'm a grandparent, and my daughter's family does not know Jesus. How do I teach my grandchildren about Jesus without stepping on their parents' toes?
Okay, so I'm not a grandparent, so it's very natural that I answer this question, but I have nieces and nephews that we want to influence for the Lord, and so I think the first thing is, and it's going to be a common thing, a common theme that you're going to be hearing is just pray, because I have seen God work in ways that I never even expected. And He works so brilliantly and so perfectly. I couldn't have orchestrated that. You know, it was all Him, and He knows exactly what our children need. But from from an influence standpoint, we found that we just really need to enter the lives of our nieces and nephews and get excited about what they get excited about. That might lead you into some strange places if they're excited about things that you have no idea about. But having those times when you can just enter their world and relate to them on their terms, it is so powerful. And with that prayer, God will open up opportunities for you to talk about Him. It's going to happen. So those two things we found to be incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. I was just thinking about the relationship that you have with your daughter and her family. And my first thought was to maybe set aside some time to talk to them about what you think is important and what you want to instill in the grandkids, and ask them if it's okay. I love Jesus. I would love to tell them stories about Jesus and how He's helped me in my life and answered prayer. And if they say yes, then you're good to go. You can maybe have them over at your house or pick them up for Sundays and bring them to church. But it's just not about Sundays as well. It's kind of like what Mark said. It's about having the relationship with your grandchild. But if they do end up saying no, then at this point, and this is only my opinion, so it's not necessarily right, but it might be right for you, or you might need to go a different direction. But I would choose relationship over religion, because there's a point that you can still keep the door open here if you're choosing the relationship and loving them where they are. But the opportunities will arise. And again, what Mark said too, the relationship, you will be able to go to their sporting events or plays at school or just be involved in their life. And God will open the door for opportunities and your life will speak volumes.
Yeah, I think as parents and grandparents, we can never underestimate the power of prayer. Even if we're told no, hey, we don't want you to talk about Jesus, God can change people's minds, and that's something we can. So prayer, pray, 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 constant theme when it comes to parenting and grandparenting. Okay, question 5, how can I teach my children about God when I'm still learning about Him myself?
I think a big thing is being transparent and being truthful with your child. You're in the process of being sanctified. So you read the word, and sometimes you read passages, and not until you read it again later in life, God reveals something to you, and you're like, oh wow, now I really understand that, God. Your child will enlighten things, you know, and like what my pastor Drew said, being like-minded, like the child, you know. And I just believe, you know, you don't have all the answers. And just guiding them and telling them, hey, look, but God has the answers. Mm. You know, let's pray about it. Let's grow together, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that, Frank. To go along with that, I think one of the biggest things is allowing your kids to see you go through that process, right? To let them know, again, that you don't have all the answers, that you are a forever student in Christ. You're always, you know, going to learn something new and desire to learn something new. A thing that Amanda and I do, we make the kids, we pray with them at night, or we make sure that they pray and say grace. Even, you know, on the small trips to school and back, you know, they say a prayer on the way to school. It gives them the opportunity to have some, you know, to have some accountability and to have some skin in the game, even as the kids, to say, hey, mom, dad, we forgot to pray today. Or, and it gives them the opportunity to also be a teacher to you, right? You know, for us as adults, we have the ability to have our own skewed mind of what it is to, you know, read the word and to follow Christ. But, you know, their perspective is from their perspective, I mean, from their viewpoint, and it gives us an opportunity to see what Christ looks like from their, you know, shorter life on earth. And it could in turn teach us how to better parent them as well.
I wanted to chime in too. I think when we fail as parents in our walk, letting them know that we have to go back to Christ and that they're going to fail too, because our walk is not an easy walk. But if we recognize that we are failing, we recognize that we go back to Christ. And that I think that'll help us in our journey together as a family.
Yeah, what greater invitation can you give your kid than, hey, come and grow with me, right? And it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey, you can invite your kids to grow with you, because my little kids, man, they offer me a perspective on God that oftentimes as an adult I miss out on because I'm being too much of an adult, that I miss out on how big and grand God is. And God calls us to childlike faith. And where do you see that most? In your children. And so invite them on your journey. All right, 6, how have or do you work through generational trauma to help refrain from continuing the cycle?
So this is really personal for me. When I was a year old, my dad was shot by a serial killer, and that produced an alcoholic father and a lot of verbal and emotional trauma, emotional abuse in my home. And that causes, for better or for worse, right? So I just really struggled with, when I became a parent, with a lot of things, but I am thankful that God redeemed me and he can redeem my story and make it his, and I can honor him with that. And so, I have to be really, really intentional with my words and actions. That doesn't come easily for me. So if you ever come to my house, you'll probably hear one of these verses, and that is from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in Luke 6:45. I need so much Jesus in my heart that that's what comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And then the other verse that I use often is, when the words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And that's in Proverbs 10. I wanted my family to be different than how I was raised. And so I have to think about that and be very intentional in those things. So when those difficult times come, I just realize that I need to stop and think about that, and I need to rely on him. And that's how I try to go forth. And I just try to look more and more like Jesus, because the goal is holiness. I have not arrived there. You can ask my kids. But I know that I need so much of Jesus that needs to be what comes out of me.
Can you answer for both of us? I think for me, my perspective is a little different. I realize that I take the perspective of a lot of the traumas and things that I've experienced in my life and that I've gone through. Wasn't necessarily appointed for me to say, you're a bad child, you're going to reap all the benefits of the generations prior to, or I just want you to have all this, you know, trauma in your life and just to be some evil person or some mean person. I took it as God gave me the opportunity to go through those things and make it out and make it through those things to give me the opportunity to help somebody else who might be going through something similar. And even the same thing with my kids. It's, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood where everything was fine and I was safe and I was protected. And no, of course not. I grew up in a very rough neighborhood. A lot of, you know, evil things around me that I may or may not have taken part in. But also knowing that I went through those experiences so my kids didn't have to, or I encountered certain things, or I was the ram in the bush, if I may, so my kids and my wife didn't have to experience those certain things. But I also don't want to say that, you know, there is a such thing as a good trauma, right? So some of those things that I learned and that I experienced, you know, allow me to be sharp and to be on point. So when I start to recognize and notice those things that show up in my kids or in my spouse or in my household, I can take a second and say, hey, that seems familiar. Let me go back to my notes on that from what I experienced.
All right, we're going to get a little practical. This is a question that really is highlighted in culture and technology. With your kids, at what age should my child get a cell phone, smartphone, or social media?
Can we say never? We wish we could shelter them, right? I think when I think about this, I think like every kid is different and every circumstance is different. So you need to like think through why you want your child to have a phone, whether it's for necessity or just for fun. And also, once they get a phone, if they have a smartphone, then it opens them up to basically the whole world. So I would be very careful, I guess, before giving them a phone. And as far as age, I would never say an age. I don't want to be held accountable to it. But like, you need to really, if you are giving your child a phone, there's so many different opportunities now. It can be just a phone. It doesn't have to be a smartphone. You can put a lock on it. Somebody was telling me that you can get a watch now, and you can call someone just using the watch. I had no idea. It's a good dialogue to have with your child about why they want a phone, because I think every kid does, actually. And social media, that's a whole new level. But if you do end up getting a phone, I would sit down and have all the rules in place as much as possible. Know all the passwords, be able to check the phone whenever you need to. What I did was at night, the phones would come down to our kitchen and they would all charge in the kitchen. They wouldn't take them upstairs. So those are just some ideas for Sal.
Definitely 100% agree. In addition to, I think the better question is, at what age are you going to be ready to parent, right? Because that, when you give access to, you know, the smartphones and the social media and the internet, you have to be ready to become a parent. You have to have, you know, understanding and awareness of what's actually taking place and say, hey, I know I won't be able to protect you from everything, but here are the guidelines that I'm going to provide you to be able to, you know, surf the internet safely, and you're going to have to monitor. And yes, you want to give your child some room, or your children some room, to be individuals. You want to give them the space to kind of, you know, for you to trust them, and then for them to, you know, earn your trust and earn even more. You know, in our household, we have, you know, no games or very limited internet access Monday through Friday. Friday when they get home from school to the weekend to Sunday at 4 o'clock, that's their time. So they get to appreciate it. They get to say, all right, I know that I need to be very responsible during this time period. So being okay with setting boundaries as well.
It's great stuff. Another practical question. How can I get my kids to go to church without being too forceful or too pushy?
Well, last week, Drew spoke about the spatula. Well, in the Hispanic culture, we have the chancleta. So,
chancleta.
Yeah, chancleta.
Right.
You know, but no, we had a standard, and it was there was no questioning. What was the series? Oh, because I said so. Right. So you know, I'm the parent going to church. You know, and just I guess reiterating to them the importance of it, and the importance of not building your relationship with Christ. I don't know if you want to say anything.
Well, I think since they were raised in the things of the Lord, it was just a standard. There was no option. It's just kind of like they knew, hey, when you graduate high school, you got to go to college. It was just ongoing conversations with them, and they saw the importance of going to church.
Yeah, and like Frank, I was raised in a godly home, and church attendance was not an option. I had my perspective. My parents weren't interested in my perspective. You know, that was just what we did. So church attendance was not an option in our home either. But I think, too, one of the things that we did with our kids is as soon as they were able, not only would they attend church, but they would also serve. And they came under the influence of people that were using their time and their talent for the Lord to build the church. And that was extremely valuable. I know that it might look different in your family. You might have little kids that might not be in the habit of going to church. It's kind of, you know, that's an easier conversation. Come on, we're going to church. But at the same time, if you have older children, that becomes more of a conversation. Getting behind, okay, why are you resistant to doing this? And then again, just praying that the Lord will impact their hearts.
Yeah.
And so that they will chase after him. And I'm always surprised. I'm always surprised at what God will do.
Yeah, and I think modeling it, if you're constantly missing church, don't expect your kid to prioritize church. All right, last question. How do my spouse and I get on the same page when it comes to parenting? And a sub-question to this is, what do you do if only one parent walks with God?
Strongly suggest always starting with prayer. You both are going to have different perspectives, again, from different backgrounds. And first and foremost, outside of prayer, remembering that at the end of the day, it's about that child or your children's best interest, right? Because as spouses, we may feel like my way is better, I know it all, I have it all together, this is an experience that's similar to me, so let me handle it. I have experience here where you don't leave any room for that child's interest, or you know, they at the end of the day, they are what's most important. So I would say just, you know, with prayer and then putting pride aside and finding the common denominator, which in every case should be that child's best interest.
I do like that because it is all about the child and having their best interest at heart. And I came from a home where I was a single parent, so I didn't have the spouse. So I think if you can come up and talk with the parent of that child, the other parent, and come up with a list, ask for wisdom, live at peace, try to come up with a list of negotiables and ways that you can work together as a team, even though maybe your marriage didn't work out, that would be the best. But above all, if you can't come to an agreement, don't talk poorly about your child's parent, because that only causes anxiety and not unifying the home.
Well, guys, great job. As you know, man, parenting is not an easy journey, right? There's so many questions that we interact with, not like from time to time, but day in and day at night. And so we wrestle with all these questions. And here's the great news for anybody who's a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or a parenting. You don't have to do it alone. One of the constant themes you've heard throughout this series and today is prayer is one of your best things you can do. So spend your time. God says in his word, you need wisdom. He's got it. You just got to go to him. And so guys, thanks. Can we give it up for our parenting panel? Woo-hoo. All right, I'm going to close us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the wisdom that you give us. Thank you that you walk by our side through the journey of life, whether it's just our own walk with you or trying to lead our kids to you, God. And so we just ask for your help. I pray for every grandparent, future parent, and parents in this room, God. May you go before them. May you go around them. May you protect our little children, Lord, from the enemy. And may you lead them back to yourself. We praise you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.